If you can wade into the political arena and make it out unscathed, you must be doing something right. Brian Burke is your host for Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Welcome to Kitchener Today. We've made it through the week. We've almost made it through the month. October comes to an end on Sunday, which actually looks pretty nice if you're sending your children out to beg for candy. Which, if you put it that way, it seems worse, doesn't it? Halloween, of course, is on Sunday afternoon. And hey, if you can make a really good ghost sound, you could score some tickets to the Rangers game. Which Rangers game am I talking about? It's not tonight's game, I don't think. I got to go back and check.
Tuesday.
Is it Tuesday?
And okay. I didn't think it was a ghost sound that we were doing.
I thought
we were doing an evil laugh.
Oh, that's it, right. Maybe we'll do both.
Yeah,
if you can do a really evil laugh, you're like, you can do that. You could score some tickets to next Tuesday's Rangers game at the Kitchener Auditorium against the Guelph Storm.
Mm-hmm. Highway
days,
7 rivals.
They play them every other game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very weird schedule this year. We're going to do that, because Britt was too lazy to go find something to talk about. We're going to do that partway through this half hour. She gives me a look of complete and utter disdain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know what? Maybe we'll take that call because maybe we'll do it a little sooner.
Yeah.
Right? Here's what's coming up this afternoon. Targeting unvaccinated pregnant women. Because there's a fairly large proportion of pregnant women who are unvaccinated because they have concerns about the vaccine. We will talk to Dr. Connie Nocella, chair of the OMA section on obstetrics and gynecology. Well, I think she would know what she's talking about. Ontario's latest long-term care legislation, it's getting a bit of a thumbs up from the Christian Labor Association of Canada. I didn't even know we had one of those. Dog bites happen every day, but for the most part, we don't know about it. And urban pet policies can help prevent them. And then it's Free Phones Friday. It's the best time of the week. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Woo!
That's what we're going to do from 2 to 3. Thank you. There will be more singing going on in this show as we head towards the holiday season. Let me go here because I'm concerned. Kyle, go ahead.
I'd like to nominate for the laugh.
Yes.
Can I start?
Who? That's pretty good. When we call for you for your call, Kyle, come back, and then we'll make a judgment on you.
Sounds good. All right.
That's fair. So stay with us for just a few minutes because we are going to get to that between 12 and 12:30. We will give away those tickets and there's
second
more.
Pair.
We have a second pair of tickets, which we shall, I think, give away sometime around 2:45 this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And just a reminder, that is for Tuesday's game, next Tuesday's. At the auditorium against the Guelph Storm, and we're going to need your email address.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have an email address, maybe make one right now. Would be a really good idea. Those are the things we're going to talk about, but first. Question to you, Brittany Bordelon.
Okay.
And it just struck me a short time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people, I don't eat during the day at all. Well, unless there's cupcakes.
Yeah, or cookies.
Or cookies. I eat those, but that's, of course, one
or
of...
Or free burgers.
Well, yeah.
Although we did feel like crap after we had those ones.
I didn't
probably because we ate too much.
Well, that was part of it. And also the thing is I don't eat a lot of beef, so it doesn't necessarily agree with me all the time. They were very good burgers.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed every minute of eating them. It was just afterwards I went...
Sometimes your eyes are bigger than your stomach.
Now
and
I remember why I don't eat beef.
Yes.
So, what were you eating out there?
When?
Just like, I don't know, half an hour ago. Like, it looked like cat food on a cracker. What was that?
Close. Close to cat food on a cracker. It was tuna on a rice cake.
This is one of the rules of the workplace. I believe you don't bring tuna in, ever.
Brian, you didn't even know I had tuna until somebody else said, hey, what is that? Because they were genuinely intrigued.
I know you're a newlywed. Times can be tough. You could have been eating cat food on a cracker. I don't want to embarrass you. It's entirely
possible.
I do
have cats, but no,
I know that too.
That's not what What's
it could have been
on?
Just an honest mistake. Oh, it says pate. Oh, frisky. That's not good. That's what I thought. What?
No, it was tuna on everything bagel, rice cakes.
Tuna on everything bagel. Why do you eat rice cakes? Why don't you just eat cardboard?
I don't know. They're pretty good.
Really?
I like them.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that you should.
Why? Are you going to do my groceries for me?
No, but rice
cakes. I would still request them.
Oh, okay. Well, that's very important. Anyways, it struck me. And by the way, you're eating tuna. Don't you care about the tuna? Don't you care about what's happening in our oceans?
What's happening to the tuna in our oceans?
Well, we're depleting the stocks of fish everywhere because of people like you eating cat food on a cracker.
Oh, my goodness, Brian.
Hey, it starts with one person, Brittany. That's what it starts with. One person. I think we're well aware of my disdain for PETA. The people for the
ethical
treatment.
I think we're aware of their disdain for you.
Well, there's that. So it's fair. Hopefully they'll send us another letter.
Yeah.
PETA is looking apparently to liberate the language we use in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently all the other huge animal mistreatment issues have been taken care of. So we need to worry about that. Do you know much about the game of the baseball?
Yes, I actually used to play baseball.
There you go. So you know what a bullpen is?
Yes.
That's where you put your extra pitchers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Put them out there in the field.
Yep.
Way over there, beyond the fence, where they can warm up and not annoy any of the other regular players.
Mm-hmm.
PETA says we should stop using the word bullpen.
Really?
That's right.
And what do they propose we should use instead?
Well, we'll get there. But they should have the reason first.
Okay, yeah.
Bullpen, they say, refers to the area of a bull's pen where bulls are held before they are slaughtered. It's a word with, and this is their word, not mine, speciesist roots. Speciesist roots. And we can do better than that. You can sure as hell do better than that word. They suggest that we should change the name of the bullpen to the arm barn.
Okay.
Yeah.
That, no.
They've actually done this before. There was a graphic that came out over the summer about common terms that we use in our language that are speciesist. Pick a better word.
Yeah, what an awful word.
Yeah. So instead of saying kill two birds with one stone.
Okay.
You would feed two birds with one scone.
No.
Yeah, I see. That's no. I thought that was stupid too. Instead of beating a dead horse, it's feeding a red horse.
No, get out of here. These aren't real.
Yes, they are. Instead of bring home the bacon,
yeah,
it's bring home the bagels.
What?
I know.
No.
I like animals. I like them in all their various forms. I like some of my animals cooked. Sorry, that's true. But I don't want...
Perhaps medium rare.
Perhaps so. I don't want animals to be mistreated.
Mm-hmm.
I want our farming practices to be ethical, and I want, you know, really, it's a tough life. You kind of know where you're going from the beginning in that situation. I want that. I want farming to be as ethical as possible. But this is just stupid.
This is.
They've become a really, really stupid group. They have.
Tell us how you really feel.
Well, no, it's just dumb. Look, I know why they're doing this. This gets them some attention, et cetera, et cetera. And there are people who will say no publicity is bad publicity. No, this is bad publicity. This just makes you look stupid. And because here's the almost everybody on the planet agrees with the ethical treatment of animals.
Absolutely.
I can't find a single person who doesn't believe that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So use that in a sensible way. Not just a stupid way like this.
You see, when it comes to a term like bullpen, like... Especially in baseball, you're thinking about, you know, the pitchers being in the bullpen. You're not thinking about a literal bull.
No, I'm not.
I think fishing, this is a little bit of a reach.
When I'm fishing for compliments, I'm not thinking of the poor fish, right? Who's down there and sees a hook and goes, that looks tasty. I'm not thinking of that.
No.
I think I'm just fishing.
Yeah.
It's just
trying to get a compliment out of someone.
Fishing for a compliment. Exactly. Yeah. I'm not doing that. people. Some just stupid.
Do you got any more of those don't be a dink shirts?
No. Oh, my goodness. We need a banner. Put it right across the 401 on the way in. Don't be a dink. Thanks, Burke. That's what it needs to say. Right there every damn day. Let me do this part first. If you want to go to the Rangers game on Tuesday, here's your chance. You can win two tickets. Mm-hmm. Star 570, 570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. The only thing you have to do, and this is almost Farwellian in its simplicity, because when Mike gives away tickets, he says, what color is the puck? That's his kind of question. I demand, I have a higher bar for the listeners to this program.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are prepared to meet that higher bar, you call like you have.
Yeah, ghouls and goblins, give us your best ghost or evil laugh impression.
No. We agreed on evil laugh.
Yeah, but then you added the ghost impression
that's
for
later. We'll do
there.
The ghost one later.
All right.
We'll do the evil laugh. And look at that. People are lined up from as far away as down the street. It's an old line from a friend of mine. Okay, we're going to try this one first. Bill.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. Are you free Tuesday?
I am, yeah.
Okay. Now, I have to warn you, there's only one ticket. So if you have friends, there's two. I'm teasing.
Absolutely. Sometimes I'd rather go myself.
You see, and I suggested this to the promotions department, mm-hmm. that we should have a giveaway for a ticket for one, just in case somebody doesn't have any friends.
No, if they don't, it's a ticket for you and a seat for your snacks.
Oh.
See? Okay,
there's
there
Brittany.
We go.
All right, Bill, so here's the bar. And that is that you must perform a maniacal evil laugh.
Okay.
All right. And if you suck at the first one, I'll give you a chance to unsuck on the second one.
Okay, thanks.
All right, so evil away.
All right.
It seemed like he was starting to plan something super evil towards the end of that.
I don't know
one
what
there.
I don't know what happened at the end there. There was a noise. Mm-hmm. I don't.
I added a growl.
Okay. I thought it was something else. Thought perhaps someone.
I just thought I'd add an extra special growl.
I thought someone had a bad burrito for lunch and something had happened at the end. Bill, that's spectacular. I'm going to put you on hold, and mm-hmm. Brent, you'll get the information. Right.
Thanks I hope. So much.
All right, we're going to put you on hold.
Thank you.
I just did that. You are now on hold. And we'll get all your information. We'll have another chance later at 2:45 mm-hmm. or thereabouts mm-hmm. this afternoon to win two more tickets to next Tuesday's game at the Odd involving the Kitchener Rangers and the evil Guelph Storm. Because they're evil, right? Aren't they? I think so. Anyway, so that's we'll do that again a little bit later on. Meanwhile.
I think he's on the phone.
Can't be on the phone.
I can get myself a nice lobster. Or a nice broad apron crab. When I'm a little bit hungry, a nice little herring I've had. I can get myself a nice mushroom to go along with eggs in bed. I can get myself a nice mother, but I can't get a nice loaf of bread.
It's a singing postman, by the way. So I largely live by myself during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because the missus stays up in Bayfield, and mm-hmm. I discovered over the last couple of days what I miss.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the smell of things. I came home the other day, and there is a tortillere.
A what?
A tortillere. I said it the same way twice. A tortillere, three times. It is like a French-Canadian meat pie.
Oh, okay.
It has no bottom crust. I have no idea why I'm doing this accent. It has no bottom crust. It has a top crust, and it has meat and vegetables and other such tasty things in it. And I could smell it. All
nice.
Homemade, by the way. Crust is all homemade. None of this store-bought crap for her.
Wow.
Crust is homemade. And then yesterday, I came home, and they were just coming out of the oven. They were still warm. Buns.
I saw your picture on Twitter, and I gave you one simple task today, Brian.
Yes?
Bring the buns to work, and no one gets hurt.
Not happening.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
because
see,
you proceeded to say, well, the homemade buns are for the homemade chili.
That's right.
That we're having later.
Yes. So made all these homemade buns. I don't know how many, maybe six or eight. Six, I think.
Oh, my God, perfect. Enough to share.
I know. If I were so inclined, which I am not. So, and they have the everything bagel spice on top of it.
Everything bagel.
I know. And they're actually technically hamburger buns. But we use them.
Oh, okay.
We use them for the homemade chili.
I'm coming over for dinner. I'll see you there.
There's still leftover tortillere.
All right. I'm going to be there after work.
I
leave at the same time every day. I'm following you out today.
You see, now I know that she'll be listening, so she'll be baking something probably for you. And it's so nice to come home to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just spectacular. So I haven't come home to a pile full of bagels yet, but I know that's coming eventually.
She did make delicious bagels last year.
They're spectacular. The cheese ones.
Yeah, the jalapeno cheddar ones.
Oh. I should weigh like 9,000 pounds. Tim, go ahead.
Brian, I got a your description of tortillere.
Yes.
It's not, as a guy who's from a French Canadian family, there is no vegetable.
I'm sorry. I feel free to correct me then, Tim. Is it just meat?
It is just meat.
Just meat?
Yeah. So my grandfather was born in Quebec, and the recipe that my family eats is his mother. So my great grandmother.
Oh, did they even have meat then?
But the crust has got to be made with lard. And the meat typically is veal, but if you can't use veal, then it's got to be a pork and beef mixture with no vegetables.
Okay, we were right on the pork and beef mixture. That's what we had there. I think the vegetables are put in to make me healthy.
Well, if you want a true French Canadian tortillere, maybe I can hook you up with the recipe. I'm sure my mother has it.
Well, and Tim, I can tell you this, that if you wanted to contact my wife and tell her what she did wrong, I don't like your future.
Don't do it, Tim.
Thanks. I didn't say it was a perfect French Canadian tortillere. Gary, go ahead.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Are you still taking those howls for the Ranger tickets?
I'll take one, but you won't get a Ranger ticket unless you call back at 2:45.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, here's one.
All right.
It's Hungry Man Bitter.
Oh, no, Gary.
All right,
Gary.
There's a drop button right there.
Gary. You were doing so well.
Although, if he comes back with that at 2:45, I might give it to him.
This contest is not rigged at all.
No, it's not. No, look, I went through this before. And like I say, Mike asks the easiest trivia questions in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that my listeners are prepared to go the extra mile. I'm not, but I know that they are. So because of that, I put higher demands on them. So, and normally it's not just something you can look up on the internet. So, and as a programming consultant told me years and years and years ago, what's the point of having a contest if it's not any fun? Right?
Very true.
That's a solid point. Like if you're the ninth caller in, that's not any fun for the other eight or anybody else. So that's the way I roll. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Friday is my favorite day of the week, and not because it's the end of the week. I like coming to work every day. I don't want to do it 7 days a week, but I'm not one of these, hey, Friday people. I like coming in, and I like coming in on Fridays because of what you do. You make the last hour unpredictable, sometimes enraging. That's okay. And fun, because from 2 to 3, it's Free Phones Friday. I don't put any kind of parameters on it. You don't have to rant. You don't have to rave. Sometimes it could just be a question. Some people have taken to telling really, 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 really bad jokes. I'm not sure that we need to continue that tradition. But the festivities officially get underway shortly after 2 o'clock, but they usually get underway a little earlier than that as people line up. And then, of course, this afternoon, the added bonus that we will be giving away another pair of Rangers tickets to next Tuesday's game at the Auditorium against the Guelph Storm. We've given away one set of tickets already. We asked for a maniacal laugh. We may do the same thing at 2:45. We may not, because I can change things if I want. Brittany's the boss of me, but she won't be here at that time, so I can probably sneak one by. Coming up just after 12:30, Dr. Connie Nocella will join us. She is the president of the Ontario Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Because the provincial government is now targeting unvaccinated pregnant women in its push to increase vaccination rates. Apparently about 32% of pregnant women are unvaccinated in the province. So we'll talk to Dr. Connie about that. And dog bites. They happen every day, but we really don't know much about them. And some cities are having way more success than others. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Just waiting to connect with our guest for this segment. Coming up a little bit later on, Ian DeWard, the Ontario Director of the Christian Labour Association of Canada. One of the labour groups coming out saying the latest long-term care legislation is an important step for the future of the sector. The Ford government announcing that legislation yesterday and including in it more enforcement and more inspections, which was something they took away before. So that, probably shouldn't have done that. It'll be an interesting discussion as we move forward on the long-term care sector, which, boy, we've talked so much about that over the last 20 months or so, haven't we? Since it really began to rain havoc through long-term care systems, not only in Ontario, but around the world and across the country. And just after 1:30 p.m., Melanie Rock will join us from the University of Calgary. Interesting that the city of Calgary has had a remarkable amount of success in getting people to buy dog licenses, which is one of those things that people have been generally resistant to. I know the numbers in places like Kitchener, Waterloo, Cambridge, maybe 30%, perhaps. And the reasons there are a number of reasons why it's important. One is being able to return a dog if they perhaps wander off. It does happen from time to time. And being able to track back in case there is a serious dog bite issue. And sometimes that can be very, very difficult. So we'll talk to Melanie just after 1:30 this afternoon about that. Meanwhile, as you heard on the news, Christine Elliott says, she's the health minister and the deputy premier, says guidance will be coming next week on third doses as the Ford government continues its tradition of making announcements ahead of announcements, which I suppose isn't all bad. It's nice to have a little bit of a heads up. And in their statement today, they said, next week we intend to release our plan that will provide information to all Ontarians on when they can expect a third dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. So that is certainly probably going to light more than a few people up. But this is the world in which we live these days. And on a vaguely connected issue, the government is also targeting unvaccinated pregnant women in a push to increase overall COVID-19 vaccination rates. About one-third of pregnant women in the province are not vaccinated. Now, I have some experience with pregnant women. And knowing the concerns that they will hold for the health of their child, I guess I'm not particularly surprised that about a third remain unvaccinated. But we can talk about that entire issue with Dr. Connie Nocella, who is president of the Ontario Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon, Brian.
I do have some experience with pregnant women in my life and knowing how they want to take care of themselves and take care of their child, et cetera, et cetera. I suppose I understand some hesitancy. Is that fair?
It is, I think, because the message was really late going out to pregnant women that the vaccines are safe. I mean, I've been doing advocacy for this since January the 1st of 2021 because the societies for obstetrician and gynecologists in Canada, in the U.S., U.K., everyone was identifying that the vaccine appeared to be safe for pregnant women. Now we have much more data. Studies have just come out looking at the adverse events reports in 17,000 pregnant women that have received vaccination, and there are no major concerning adverse effects. Women that get vaccinated really will have a sore arm, may have a low-grade fever for a day or two, pretty much the same as women, other women who aren't pregnant that get vaccinated.
Yet if I do a 30-second Google search, I can find all kinds of sites that tells me this is the worst possible thing for pregnant women.
Well, when you're looking on Google, what you really want to look for are, in the case of pregnant women, you want to look at reputable sites. And right now, the reputable sites are the Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists of Canada. They have continued to update their vaccine report and recommendations. The CDC, NACI has put out new guidelines as well. And so have the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine in the States and the American College of OBGYN. So the message is coming from everyone that has been looking to this, who has worked and is working with pregnant women, that these vaccines are safe.
It's difficult to battle that misinformation, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, fake news catches our eye far faster than the real thing. And, you know, I have a group of colleagues in medicine and in obstetrics and gynecology, and we've been doing our best to post good information on Twitter and Facebook with good links that people can go to. But, you know, we always want to listen to the fear mongers, and he'll tell us the sky is falling. At the moment, I don't think it is.
So is there any concern, like, depending on when in her term a woman might be pregnant? Like, does it matter first trimester, second trimester, third trimester when you get the shot? Is there any information on that?
It does not matter which trimester you get it. My own daughter is pregnant, and she was waiting anxiously for it and got it in her late second trimester. So now the question will be when to get a booster, because pregnancy is an immune deficient state. And because it is, it's not that we're more susceptible to acquiring the virus, but if we do get it, we're five times more likely to be admitted to hospital than a pregnant person who is not vaccinated. And certainly much higher than women who are not pregnant, and 10% higher than non-pregnant persons to be admitted to the ICU. And what we are seeing in all across Canada is pregnant women admitted to intensive care units end up on ventilators. They end up very, very ill. It can affect the baby, because if mom is not breathing well, guess what? Baby doesn't get enough oxygen. And so we are seeing issues related to severe prematurity, babies having to be delivered by cesarean section under less than ideal conditions in an intensive care unit, with prolonged stays in the neonatal intensive care units. We're seeing more stillbirth, unfortunately, more preeclampsia or high blood pressure in pregnancy, more likelihood of a still prolonged stay after the baby's delivered for both mom and baby. So all of those things considered, given that the vaccine has had exceedingly few reports of true allergy, this is safe for women. This is safer. These viruses are safer than any vaccine we have ever used. You know, this has been tested in over 100,000 people. And if you were to think back to the polio epidemic, the vaccines were in use in Canada after 1,000 children were vaccinated. And people lined up for blocks to be able to get their children vaccinated, because at that time it killed children. And we know that although, our population is great enough that we do see a small proportion of children that die with the COVID vaccine or as a result of complications, The fact is, it's babies, it's toddlers, it's the small children that we're dying and that are dying unnecessarily. Hopefully soon we'll get the vaccine for that group, but right now they depend on the adults in their life to protect them, their parents, their grandparents. So we want everybody to be vaccinated, and we want to ensure pregnant women that, yes, this is safe. Give it to our own families.
The statement that pregnancy is an immune deficiency is not exactly the most soaring advocacy for pregnancy, to be honest. But is that simply because of the demands pregnancy places on a woman's body?
No, it's actually because if you think about it, a pregnancy, a fetus, an embryo, is actually foreign DNA. And we've heard enough about how vaccines and antibodies work to recognize that, oh, antibodies attack foreign DNA. So why doesn't that happen in babies? Because of the whole condition of pregnancy, immunity is suppressed somewhat so that we don't have a high incidence of miscarriages. So we don't want our body attacking our baby. And so we've evolved so that doesn't happen.
I see information as well, Connie, about the impact of these vaccines on fertility. What do we know there?
There does not seem to be any effect on fertility whatsoever. Women that have been involved in fertility clinics and doing treatments have been able to get pregnant. As far as the period thing, physiologically, there should not be a problem. However, you know, we do know that stress has the ability to affect menstrual cycles. And sometimes low-grade temperatures can affect menstrual cycles. So, you know, for one or two cycles, they may be a little bit off. But the problem is that may be less than 1% of women, because at least 95% of women may have irregular cycles at any time for any number of reasons. So,
it's not particularly easy to draw a scientific line from one place to another, is it?
It isn't. And, you know, for us to say, I mean, I've heard the conspiracy theories as well. And I've heard that parents are worried that if their children are vaccinated, that they will have problems later in life. Well, we don't know that. The minute the cycles come back regularly, there's no reason to think there is anything going on, because our DNA is not changed by the vaccine. That part's still the stuff of fiction.
Dr. Nocello, thanks for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks very much, Brooklyn.
Dr. Connie Nocello is the president of the Ontario Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, also the chair of the OMA section on obstetrics and gynecology. The province says about 32% of pregnant women, one out of three, are not vaccinated. That is largely because of concerns about the baby that they're carrying. However, as Dr. Nocello says, there is no evidence to indicate an issue from there. Again, this goes back to another thing that often I've said. I understand people's legitimate concerns and those legitimate concerns, but I don't know where else you would want me to get information from except somebody who is a specialist in obstetrics and gynecology. Seems like a pretty solid choice. I could be wrong on that, but this is one of those, look, I understand how. Like I say, I've had some experience with pregnant women. Know how much, at least in my experience, they care about what they put in their body and taking care of themselves and all those other things that we expect those who are pregnant to do. And so having a concern about a vaccine makes a significant amount of sense, but also doing the research and finding out there is no evidence to indicate any of the things that are being tossed out there. None. Star 570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Dr. Connie Nocello, the president of the Ontario Society of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, joined us because the province is looking at the number of unvaccinated pregnant women. It's about 32%, trying to boost those numbers. Debbie, go ahead.
Hi. I have a comment about this, and the professional that I'm, the doctor that I'm quoting, his name is Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. He's a medical specialist in pathology, a graduate of Cambridge University in the United Kingdom. He's a fellow of the College of American Pathologists and the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada. He was previously the president of the Alberta Society of Laboratory Physicians, an assistant professor in the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Alberta. He worked in public health advocacy for many years as honorary chairman of Action on Smoking and Health. And he is 100% or more as much against vaccinating pregnant women and also vaccinating our children. And if anyone is interested...
Why do you choose to believe him, Debbie?
Well, you just quoted the Obstetricians of Canada. This guy is equally... Why I choose to believe him is because he is a pathologist. That's his specialty. He sees what happens when people die.
So he's the same doctor who proclaimed COVID just another bad flu, right?
He also
called it a hoax, yep. Right?
No.
Yes, he did. He did.
I don't believe he called it a hoax.
Made the comments by phone during a public meeting in Edmonton.
All right. Well, I know that he has said that it's real. He said that the COVID is real.
He's also said that it's a hoax.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear that interview. But nevertheless, he has the credentials. He's not just from the UK. He's also from the U.S. and he's done work with the U.S. and with Canada. And his topic, I mean, if it's all fake, then somebody listens to it and they think, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. But the interview that he spoke about specifically about COVID-19 vaccines, infertility and spike protein dangers.
And when was that interview done, Debbie?
That was done May 27th of 2021.
Okay. Why do you choose to believe him and disbelieve the president of the Society of Obstetrics and Gynecology?
Because Canada and the United States have been, if you watch a lot of the programs on TV, you'll see that these are just normal programs. But what do you want? What ends up coming on? Oh, this program was brought to you by Pfizer. This program was brought to you by Pfizer.
Tell me a single program that you watched in the last week that was brought to you by Pfizer, Debbie.
I haven't watched any of them.
Oh, so you just read that somewhere.
No. I've seen the exact...
Because I watch TV all week, and I haven't seen a single ad that says, this program is brought to you by Pfizer.
Okay, well, maybe you've clicked over. If you're a guy, you probably do a lot of clicking in between the commercials.
No, actually, I don't, Debbie, because commercials kind of pay for my living. So I kind of support that, but I haven't seen a single one. Now, I've seen all kinds of them for other kinds of medication, but I haven't seen that.
Okay, well, this particular podcast was put out by factcheckvaccine.com. So there, I know, and I think you suspect, and maybe a lot of people also do, that why are there so many women who are not getting it, who are pregnant? They obviously, I've had three pregnancies. Thank God I didn't have to make the choice that so many of these women are. We don't know. It's only been like a year and a half that these are coming out, and how many pregnancies have there been statistics done? There haven't been the studies yet done.
Well, 18 months is two pregnancies worth.
Okay, well, there are a lot of other doctors like Dr. Roger Hodgkinson who are sounding the alarm and saying that they have seen an increase in stillbirths, an increase in SIDS babies. And we don't, because there hasn't been a long-term study of this, we don't know, but they know that the statistics are up from normal years.
Don't I only need a 9-month study for pregnancy?
Who's done one? They don't want to do one because...
Okay, so now are they not doing them or they don't want to do one? Why would the president of the obstetrics and gynecology department not want to know the impact of a vaccine on pregnant women? Why would they not want to know? Why would they not want to know that?
That's what I want to know, and a lot of other people who.
But she just talked about the hundreds of thousands of cases that have been looked at. So they obviously do want to know. But explain to me why they don't want to know. Because you say they don't want to.
That was your term.
No, you said they don't want to.
You just said hundreds of thousands.
She said 100,000. You said very clearly that they don't want to know why.
Okay. I feel like you're trying to deliberately muddy the water.
I'm not muddying. Debbie, did you say they don't want to know?
Yeah, there's a lot of
people. Then why don't they want to know?
Because for the same reason you call us people who are pro-choice for vaccination, that we're just listening to
I haven't. I haven't said that. She said conspiracy theorists. I haven't said that, Debbie. What I've said is I understand that some people are hesitant.
You just brought up what she said, that was your defense against me. So I am just doing the same thing.
No, what defense against you? I don't have a. I'm asking you to tell me why they don't want to know.
Because I believe my belief, and a lot of belief of other people, is because.
Debbie, you know your beliefs. You don't know anybody else's.
All right. Your point taken. Big Pharma has bought out the first world countries.
Big Pharma has bought out the first world countries.
I thought you hung up on.
No. Big Pharma has bought out the first. So they didn't buy out the other countries?
When it comes, they've tried. And if you look at India. I don't want to get into the ivermectin whole debate. But,
no, because it's useless, but continue.
Well, in your opinion, but...
No, in the opinion of hundreds of medical professionals, it's useless.
Okay.
But they're not the ones you want to believe.
All right, so back to why don't they want to know?
Yeah.
Or why haven't these studies been done?
They have.
Because doing totally independent studies where you have... double-blinded, the gold standard studies, is very, very expensive. And typically, those kind of studies are funded by Big Pharma. There's usually a reason why they're doing it because...
So, Debbie, let me ask, because we're running out of time. Because you obviously don't trust the pharmaceutical companies, which is fine. You obviously don't trust the president of the obstetricians and gynecologists of Ontario. I get that.
Well, I know what happened with thalidomide.
I don't think she was involved, so thanks.
She may not have been, but
did you hear what happened with smallpox?
Smallpox is different than thalidomide. Thalidomide was a synthetic drug that was made in a lab.
So here's my question. Who do you trust?
I trust the science, and I trust
the science that doesn't agree with you.
No.
Okay, Debbie, that's entirely the case. Goodness. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
You talk too much, you worry me to death. Even worry my pet, you just talk too much.
Still to come a little later on this afternoon, dog bites happen every day. We don't hear much about them, but some cities are having way more success with licensing dogs than others, and we'll head out west to Calgary. Talk about that just after 1:30 this afternoon. Of course, it is Friday, which means everything after that is wide open and largely up to you, because my interest level in working that hard on Friday afternoon is, minimal. Let's just put it that way. So I leave it up to you, and it doesn't matter what you want to call and talk about. It doesn't have to be a topic that we've discussed today. It doesn't even have to be a topic that we've discussed this week. It can be something brand new, something light is always fun, something trivial is worthwhile, and of course, a little later on in that 2 to 3 hour, we'll give away another set of two tickets to next Tuesday's Guelph Storm game against the Kitchener Rangers here at the auditorium. We have not decided the parameters for that yet, but we'll get around to it. Meanwhile, the provincial government yesterday making an announcement on long-term care, the way too obviously named the Providing More Care, Protecting Seniors, and Building More Beds Act 2021, will increase the power of long-term care home inspectors by allowing them to issue compliance orders and allow the ministry to put in place a long-term care home supervisor to run a home. some of these things, including inspections, were taken away by the government previously, which in the light of what's happened over the past 21 months and almost 4,000 pandemic-related deaths in long-term care centers seems to have been a poor decision. But this plan from the Ford government yesterday gets a bit of a thumbs up from the Christian Labor Association of Canada. Ian DeWard is the Ontario director. Good afternoon, Ian.
Hi, Brian.
Tell me about the Christian Labor Association of Canada. Who do you represent? What do you do?
Yeah, sure. We're a trade union. We've been a trade union since 1952. We represent workers across the country in lots of sectors, but we most importantly represent about 9,000 workers in Ontario's healthcare system, 6,000 of them who work in long-term care.
And as an association, you give this plan a thumbs up. Why?
Well, I think from the perspective of our members, you might imagine these last 20 months have been incredibly taxing. But the problem goes back much further than that. And so the promise to bring a major injection of staffing hours into the system is the glimmer of light at the end of what it's been a very, very long tunnel. The amount of hands-on care that a resident gets per day in the current state is about 2 hours and 45 minutes. And what this legislation promises and the funding that's attending will move that formula to 4 hours of care per day per resident, which means our staff, our members are going to have just more time to breathe. They'll have more time to offer, you know, the kind of care and dignified care that these residents deserve, which for a very, very long time has been hard to do with the lack of resources that have been available to them.
I'm assuming you can't expand out to 4 hours of personal care a day with the staff that you have. That would have to be a significant staffing increase, right?
This represents a major adjustment. There's about 100,000 workers in long-term care. And so to achieve this move is going to take 27,000, the very minimum, 27,000 new staff that have to be onboarded, trained, and brought into the system to provide that kind of care. That's in addition to regular attrition and turnover. And so you're really looking at nearly a 50% increase in staff or replacement of staff over the next 4 years. And so to get that kind of injection of new people in is going to take a bit of time. It can't be done overnight.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. I know that we've been trying to fast-track people like PSWs, et cetera. Are those numbers of people out there, Ian? Because I'm kind of thinking every other province might be going the same route.
Yeah, I mean, I think the province has done a commendable job on that front, too. They've just last week announced another $100 million, which is in addition to various other programs, to reduce the burden of getting into this field of work. So the cost of getting your credentials as a PSW or RPN are coming down. The time that it takes to get those credentials is being streamlined to make it more efficient. And listen, when you add this kind of staff back into the system, it's going to mean that the work, which is attractive by its very nature, the opportunity to provide care to our seniors, becomes, you know, it achieves its potential in terms of how meaningful, how fulfilling that work can be. Certainly, we're on the right track by these measures, and you know, we think this is going to do a lot to reduce the kind of burnout that's been driving people away from the sector for too long.
And you mentioned that this can be incredibly satisfying work for those people who are looking for incredibly satisfying work. But just I've talked to a number of PSWs over the past year and a half or so, Ian, and the physical and mental burnout is just incredible.
And COVID has certainly exacerbated that. These folks, they're caring folks, but so often prevented from being able to spend the time and to take the time to do the kind of care and provide the kind of human touch that matters. And when I talk to members, I talk to members all the time about what draws them in and what keeps them there, and it's really the love of doing the job. And so we can remove the impediments to doing that well, which some of this funding will certainly achieve. They're hopeful. That's the glimmer of light that comes, that they'll be able to get back to doing this work in a meaningful way.
The province is also taking some steps to strengthen what's called the Residents' Bill of Rights. How important is that?
Well, the residents have to be at the focus, at the front of everything that we do. And so we absolutely support the measures that will reinforce and make clear that those need to be paramount and made priority. This is why we also support, you'll have seen some measures that are going to improve enforcement, 193 new inspectors, and some new oversight powers that allow the province to step in when there are operators who get it wrong. And so these two, we think, are good measures.
There are some tools in place now, but they have not been used very often. Is there anything you've seen in this proposed legislation that suggests to you that those compliance and enforcement tools might actually be used?
Well, we see new powers being handed to inspectors. We see the ability of the province to step in and intervene and assume responsibility where operators might not be compliant. And as you'll have seen, the fines that are possible where there's continued noncompliance have been doubled. And so those are good measures that really make clear the importance of getting this right and doing this well.
Ultimately, I guess we'd like to think, Ian, that those enforcement and compliance measures wouldn't be necessary because companies and organizations are doing the things that they're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, of course. And there's lots of folks working in large complex machines, that is this long-term care sector, trying to get it right and do it well. But as is the case with this world, we'll always encounter bad actors or folks who are slow to adapt. And so these kinds of tools are important measures to make sure that we can expect a strong, continuous level of qualified or quality care in whatever home we find our residents in.
Are members of your association, Ian, are they kind of evenly split between private and public sector, or do they have a preponderance of positions in one of those spots?
In terms of where we find them? Our proportionality would be consistent with how the province is divided. About 65% of the homes that are being operated are private sector homes. The remaining 35 are split between those that are operated by municipalities and those operated by not-for-profits or charitable organizations.
There are those two groups in long-term care in the province. Is there a way that those two groups can achieve the goals properly, Ian, do you think?
The groups of different kinds of
whether it's public or private sector.
Yeah, what's important to understand, without getting too lost into great detail, is that the funding that's provided to all operators for nursing and personal care is consistent. It's the same across all, and it's what's called flow-through of spending. So every operator receives funds to provide care, and they have to spend all of that funding. And what doesn't get spent gets sent back to the province. There's no profit that comes out of the nursing and personal care funds that they receive. So be it not-for-profit, municipally owned, or private, they receive the same level of funding to provide that care.
Ian, I don't know if you've given any thought to this, but what went wrong? Because obviously what was happening wasn't right. So what went wrong?
Yeah, well, what's went wrong has been going wrong for a long time. We, CLAC, among lots of other stakeholders, have been ringing alarm bells in this sector for, 15 years, watching residents come into these facilities later and later in life, which means they come with higher and higher needs. And as that was happening and as we were building out that population, we weren't increasing the staffing hours. We weren't increasing or attending to the challenges of getting the job done well. And so it's tragic that we've had to go through this experience, this pandemic, to see this put a spotlight onto this, because we've been trying so hard for so many years to do that. But it was a system at its edge, and the pandemic pushed it over, and you saw what we saw over these last 20 months, where this was the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Well, and pressure like that applied by the pandemic certainly exposed the weaknesses, didn't it?
It certainly did. We lost 4,000 residents in the span of about a year. And in order to respond to that, in order to be able to deal with the widespread outbreaks that were happening in the province, we had to suspend certain privileges that staff had. We had to cause staff to choose one facility only. These were good measures, but certainly exacerbated the staff shortage that was already putting the system in crisis state. And so what these folks have had to endure over these last 20 months has been really unimaginable. And so, again, I get back to the promise of more hours, more staff, is that glimmer of light at the end of what has been a very, very long tunnel.
Ian, thanks for your time today.
It was nice to speak with you, Brian. Thanks.
Ian DeWard is the Ontario Director of the Christian Labour Association of Canada. They represent thousands of people across a number of different sectors. And as you heard Ian say, a number of people inside the long-term care sector here in the province. Amongst the changes that, well, now Rod Phillips is in charge of that particular portfolio. Amongst those changes, he announced yesterday, he says the government wants to better protect residents with more accountability, stronger enforcement, and increased transparency. He does say, and this kind of echoes something that I say, I'd rather we not have to use those measures because that tells me everybody is doing the right thing. But there are always some places that will not do the right thing. We know that. Now, the question is, how long does it take to bring more people into the system? Because as Ian mentioned, the average amount of time for personal care for a resident is about 2 hours and 40 minutes. This provides a commitment to 4 hours per day. That's a significant increase. That's what we'd be saying, close to 40%, I guess, which means you're going to need that much more staff because you cannot stretch out the staff that you already have who are probably struggling to meet that 2 hour and 40 minute guideline. And this can't be the end. There has to be more. There have to be moves to allow people to stay in their homes longer. So home care is pretty important. I'm not sure that the increasing staffing, et cetera, like that, I think it's going to reduce some burnout. But certainly from the stories I've been told from long-term care workers in the system, that, you know, it can be a grind. And you can get it, especially emotionally, you can get attached to people. And then, of course, the inevitable happens, and that makes it difficult. So it's a tough job, and it has largely been undervalued, which leads me to philosophical questions about why we undervalue those of us who are getting older, and especially those who are in long-term care homes and living facilities like that. We undervalue them by not providing the income and the working conditions that the people who take care of them need. Like this, one of the good things that came out of the pandemic was the end of people working in three different places. However, that could also have affected their hours. There needs to be a better system. And it's not like, and this is an important point, it's not like we didn't know that long-term care homes and facilities like that could be very, very badly affected by contagious issues. For example, it has happened over the years with flu, MRSA, a number of different things that have gone through nursing homes. So we already knew that was a problem. We just didn't know it enough to actually maybe want to do anything about it. So if this is a step forward, well, good for the Ford government in taking it. Will people say it's not enough? Yes, probably. Quite likely people will say it's not enough. But it is moving to a standard of care, which seems to make more sense. And it is providing a level of enforcement and compliance, which while we would all like it not to be necessary, we do know that it will be necessary. Now, hopefully, some enforcement and compliance will be enough to bring some people into the right fold, because what's happened in our long-term care system has been, well, just kind of disgraceful, to be honest. And hopefully this is a step towards it. See what happens when you get an election around the corner? People actually decide to try to do something. *570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. This is Kitchener Today on 570 News.
The promise to bring a major injection of staffing hours into the system is a glimmer of light at the end of what it's been a very, very long tunnel. The amount of hands-on care that a resident gets per day in the current state is about 2 hours and 45 minutes, and what this legislation promises and the funding that's attending will move that formula to 4 hours of care per day per resident.
Ian DeWard is the Ontario Director of the Christian Labour Association of Canada, reacting to the Ford government's decisions, or introduction, I should say, of new legislation for the long-term care sector. That would increase the standard of care on a daily basis to 4 hours per patient. That's going to mean a significant injection of staff into the long-term care sector. And it does check off one of the boxes that a variety of advocacy groups had thrown out there prior to that legislation being introduced. So that was a key part of it, increasing that standard of care to 4 hours per day, which, as a result, comes with a significant influx of new people. They're going to try to hit that standard by 2025, and you can't be too critical of that because it's going to take time to ramp up staffing. But the one real common complaint that advocates have had about long-term care legislation is that It was never that we didn't have enough rules. We had plenty of rules. We have plenty of rules for everything. It was that the rules were either not being enforced, or when they were, there was no punishment. There was no incentive for whichever company or organization was breaking the rules. Now they have increased the fines, and you can do all that, but you still need to enforce. And the biggest complaint of advocates have been, look, these rules are in place. And the additions to the Residents' Bill of Rights, many advocates are saying, Bill of Rights was already there that said residents have a right to be properly cared for and treated and fed. It just wasn't being enforced. John, go ahead.
Yes, I agree with what the fellow from CLAC was saying about the need for these things and the fact that the Ford government, as they promised, are making a move on it. I listened to Ms. Horvat yesterday, and she was criticizing everything that wasn't municipal or government, and I can't agree with that at all, because my mother is in a private home, and the care she gets is absolutely superb. So you can't paint them all with one brush. The other thing I'd like to mention is that CLAC itself masquerades as a union or association representing workers, but if you do your research, sir, you will find it is no such thing. It's actually an employment agency that looks out for the deals of the employers, but they love to masquerade as what they are not.
All right. Thank you, John. I appreciate the information very much. I don't think that takes away from what they're saying, which is that this is a good step. Is it the perfect step? No, probably not. And to me, when governments introduce legislation, it's a matter of follow-through. How long will it take? How long are you going to take to get this through? Now, the Ford government has committed billions of dollars more in its budget, but the proof is in the pudding, right? Let's make sure that we have something done. And thank you for the info, John. We'll have a look at that as well. Coming up a little later, we're going to talk about dog bites. And their guest is Melanie Rock, who's a professor of community health sciences at the University of Calgary. And she's been tweeting out some interesting information about dog bites and dog breeds and the way cities handle it and how they can do it better. So we'll have that conversation with her just after 1:30 this afternoon. Now, we were planning something else today, and it was a very strange situation. I've got a little bit of time to tell you about it here. We got a note from the Ontario government that there was a plan to introduce legislation that was going to protect the right of people to wear puppies in their workplace. And that struck me as odd, because I have not heard that the right to wear a puppy had been taken away. They reached out, said, would you like to talk about it? And I said, well, I'd like to ask that question. Like, really, is this an issue? Or are we just getting out and signaling a little bit of virtue here? And then we didn't tell them that. But then all of a sudden, they couldn't make it for 12:30, so we offered a pre-recorded interview, and they said neither a pre-recorded or a live interview would work. So we ended up not being able to talk about it. And I really haven't seen a whole lot about it anywhere else, but it's kind of interesting. Of all the things you could pass legislation about, I didn't even know that was an issue. I don't think it is, but I found it interesting. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Well, the people all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat. People all said, sit down, you're rocking the boat. And the devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking the boat.
Welcome back to Kitchener Today. It is Friday, of course, so once we get through this segment, it's all up to you. It is Free Phones Friday. Anything you want to talk about, you can be angry, you can be mad, you can, do a brief performance if you wish. I'm pretty wide open on this. The more people who call, the less I have to work, and that's the most important thing for me on a Friday afternoon. Caught this article in The Conversation, which, by the way, if you don't go to The Conversation Canada, you should. There are many fabulous articles there on a wide range of topics, and we all often tap into them for interesting and passionate people to talk to. And today, no different, Melanie Rock is a professor of community health sciences at the University of Calgary, one of the co-authors of a report on dog bites, which happen every day. But some cities have got a way better handle on dogs than others. And Melanie joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Melanie.
Yes, hello, Brian. Melanie Rock here.
I hear that you have a fancy new headset. Is it working well?
Yes, I have. I have about three versions of this headset, and hopefully one of them works.
Well, this one seems to work just fine. I'm interested in this because I spent 4 years sitting on municipal council here in Waterloo Region. And, of course, dogs always come up as an issue. And our dog licensing rates here in Southern Ontario are, well, at best, abysmal. And how Calgary, though, has had tremendous success. How has Calgary done it?
That's a great question, and I've been trying to understand that for nearly 15 years. So it's not one thing, and it's not one actor. It's the city. It's also passionate people involved in animal welfare charities and community associations. So it really is a collective effort.
But apparently about 80% of dogs are registered in Calgary, and you know, when I look here, it's probably close to 30%. I'm looking at the cost. It doesn't seem dramatically different. It's got to be simply constant communication, right?
Yes, constant communication, and the benefits of licensing pets are important. Now, from a public health perspective, one of the most important ways that we can protect ourselves from dog bites is through other people registering their pets. But what's the advantage, or what's the reason why a person might register their own pet? After all, few people imagine that their dog is going to end up in an altercation and bite another dog or a child. So it's hard to sell people on that. However, when licensing of dogs is routine, as you would know from your municipal career and as a citizen yourself, then if your dog is missing, it's relatively quick and easy to get the dog back. And usually the dog doesn't have to see the inside of the pound, the dog jail.
So it's like almost anything else then, Melanie. In order for us as individuals to buy in, we have to see that we get some benefit out of it.
Yes, and then also if it's routine. Now, I don't know about you, but there's lots of things that I have set to pay automatically, say on my credit card, or I get a renewal notice. So there's lots of ways that Calgary has been successful, again, as a whole society. The city deserves a lot of credit, but without dog owners doing their part and establishing licensing as the norm, then that wouldn't happen. But I do want to emphasize that by all means, not all dogs are licensed in Calgary, and I wish I could say where those dogs lived and whether certain neighborhoods were less protected in this way, but I can't say so with any certainty because that type of information hasn't been released on the from the city, even though they could actually do just that with the data they have.
We don't collect much information on dog bites in this country, do we?
Unfortunately, we collect a lot of information, but we have been slow to actually make that public. So the last time a report came out from the federal government on dog bites was 2003.
That's a long time ago.
But every time a child goes to an emergency department in a children's hospital, sick kids, say, in Toronto and a number of other similar sites across Canada, then the healthcare professionals are supposed to fill out a report and do, and often parents do as well. They're given a questionnaire to complete while in the waiting room. Most are waiting for attention from medical specialists. So collection of data actually is not so much the problem. Similarly, every time a child or an adult, for that matter, receives attention in the emergency department across the country, not just some hospitals, all hospitals, then that information is also captured, if you will. It's in a database. In Alberta, in a partnership with Alberta Health Services, members of the Emergency Services Strategic Clinical Network, we have data on that, but we don't have a national level or a federal level report, or even a provincial level report that's being updated and monitored regularly. So different than with ice hockey injuries such as concussions or trampolines, even though those kinds of injuries are similar actually in how often they happen and the impacts. Than dog bite injuries, and arguably dog bite injuries are worse in a number of ways because there's a mental health element that doesn't receive a lot of attention. It can be very traumatizing and deeply conflictual.
Probably more likely to be traumatized by a dog bite than you are from a trampoline injury, I think. Not to downplay the seriousness of trampoline injuries.
Not being an expert in trampolines, I'm not going to, and being a PhD-trained scientist, I'm not going to say for sure, but I wish we could say, I wish the research had been done. It hasn't been done.
You talk a little bit about breed-specific bans, and that's of interest to me, because I go back long enough in this business, Melanie, to remember the I want to call it almost a mania about pit bulls. And prior to that, it was Doberman Pinschers, and prior to that, it was another dog breed. And the breed-specific bans, do they fit in what you consider enlightened dog bite policies?
Briefly stated, no.
Why don't they fit if we could be somewhat less brief?
First of all, I want to acknowledge that throughout your province in Ontario, there is breed-specific legislation. And there have been recent protests at Queen's Park about that. It's a very polarizing issue. Andre Picard, as the Globe and Mail columnist, I respect his work deeply. And on most topics, I trust him implicitly. But he and I are not on side with how to move forward with the dog bite problem. We do agree it's a problem, and that's the first place to start. I don't know what else I can say, but maybe one thing is to circle back to licensing. It's one thing to look at statistics, and this has been done in some parts of Canada and overseas, about whether or not, based on healthcare records, certain types of dogs are more or less likely to bite people, and bite people to the point they end up in an emergency department or in hospital. The issue comes up, though, with the human side, you know. So dogs have their biology and their way of being social beings. And we, as human beings, we have our biology, too, and we have our way of being social beings. So one thing that can happen when you tell people they can't have a pit bull is suddenly they don't have pit bulls. They have terriers. They have mixed. So you might still, on site, think, oh, that's a pit bull. However, as soon as you tell people they can't have these types of dogs, it doesn't necessarily mean the dogs go away. Or, for example, that animal welfare organizations are going to pick up the tab for mass euthanasia, yeah? as an example. Now, so that's one issue that arises with actually putting policies that base their target breeds or target people who've chosen dogs of certain breeds, certain types, certain looks, really. A related issue is whether or not people agree on what constitutes the nature and even the appearance of a pit bull. So these are complex questions, but as soon as there's a regulation that says certain people can't have certain types of dogs, or no one can have certain kinds of dogs, then it's very challenging, as you'll appreciate, Mr. Burke, from your municipal career, and again as a citizen, for any regulation to take place at all, starting with licensing. Now, if you have a dog that might be described as a pit bull in Ontario, why might you tell the city where you live, say Kitchener or Waterloo, that you in fact do have such a dog? Because at the provincial level, that's against the law.
Well, and of course, as a dog owner, you gain this emotional connection with a dog, and yes, you're absolutely right. People are not going to be willing to give it up.
Well, and you know, research, not from our team, but very credible research done in the Vancouver area, where some parts of Vancouver have this type of legislation and bylaws and others don't, then animal welfare organizations are very involved in moving the dogs to different places. So the dogs, again, don't go away. They don't disappear. And people don't stop wanting or loving them, especially once those dogs already exist in the world. But a very important study that was done there found that dogs that might be described meaningfully as a pit bull were no more likely to fail behavioral testing in the shelters and no more likely to be returned than dogs of a similar size due to aggressive behavior in the home or the neighborhood. So I'll just pause there to make sure that giving a chance for you to say your piece.
At the end of the day here, Melanie, it sounds like licensing really is the key, accurate licensing.
Yes, and low threshold. So that's a term we sometimes hear in harm reduction and social services, that the harder it is, say, for someone to receive help when they depend on substances, whether those are legal or illegal, especially if they're illegal, then the harder it is actually to serve the people who really need help. So when some people in some parts of the world will say, well, we need very, very precise information, like all dogs that are licensed should be microchipped, well, then anyone who has a dog without microchipping is not necessarily going to go run out and get a microchip so now they can license. So it's basic demographic information, where a person lives with a dog. Let's start with that. And then information about that dog. It's going to be approximate, but that does mean that for any reason, if the dog is lost, for example, and now needs to be returned to the rightful owner, to the family, then there's something to go on. Oh, a dog meeting this description with a license that reads a series of digits and numbers, that dog belongs at this address with this person. So that's the basics. And with that basic information, then a lot can be done in terms of helping people and helping dogs. And dog bite prevention is a big part of that.
And the money,
because, sorry, we'll go ahead.
No, that's good. I think it's important that you get to the money where, you know, licensing goes to the municipality, which can then increase its spending on animal services, right?
That's right. So you could say it's earmarked or dog-eared, if you will, to go towards dog-related services. And those can cost a lot, especially when they're of good quality. And, of course, the more dogs that need services, the more that people are going to be paying one way or another. So it's in our collective interest to have good quality services for all the dogs and all the people that need the help.
So the idea of having this information, the more dogs that are licensed, the more that can be quickly found if they happen to run away, the less are likely to be euthanized. I think that's probably all true, right?
Yes. And so, again, it would be nice and it would be helpful to have more precise statistics. But Calgary, for very good reasons, can say that the euthanasia rates are probably the lowest anywhere in North America and maybe globally.
And sometimes I think we need to have information, always need to have information before we can make a decision. So going back to hospitals, you keep records of dog bites. I've been on the air in this town for a long time, and in a bad year, possibly we might hear about two dog bite stories. But if people knew just how common it was, maybe they'd be a little bit more willing to step up and register.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We have done previously a very in-depth analysis of media coverage here in Calgary, so that should be a best-case scenario. The media coverage did tend to focus or fixate on certain breeds of dogs, which came as somewhat of a surprise, given that Calgary is known for not taking that approach in policy. And again, that's not just the city, but it's also partners such as the Calgary Humane Society. However, the stories almost invariably ended at the hospital door. So in the piece that you will have seen in the conversation, we talk about a story that happened just a few days after City Council here in Calgary made some decisions to change the pet policies here. And the story that we tell is really quite typical of the bad case, the bad situation. But when the stories end at the hospital door, and I'm not going to blame journalists. You know, I'm really not. I don't think there's anything, but that's something maybe your listeners and your community might want to talk more about, because after all, you have a very, very strong veterinary school, very socially aware veterinary school. There's a lot that's going on in your immediate area on this topic. What happens after the child is discharged from the emergency department? What happens in the family? What happens with the dog? At this point in time, if a child comes to hospital having been hit in a pedestrian crossing by an automobile, we would expect that the police services will be notified and every effort is going to be made to locate the person who was driving that vehicle. The vehicle license plate will say where the vehicle was registered, who owns the vehicle. And then, of course, the question is, well, was that person driving the vehicle? And I'm going at some lengths here to say all of that would happen in a motor vehicle collision, or all that we should expect is going to happen in a motor vehicle collision when a child is a pedestrian, because this is not what happens when a child presents at hospital, is brought to hospital by ambulance or by parents or grandparents or a neighbor, bleeding from the fingers, from the neck, from the net, you know, from the face, and so on. There's not a routine way in which the owner of the dog is going to be contacted. And that is a problem, because the healthcare side of things, a lot of money is being spent on healthcare alone. You know, in related research, the number one consult in hospital in Edmonton, the Edmonton Children's Hospital, called the Stollery Children's Hospital, was plastic surgery. So we are paying a price as a society for not really looking into this problem. But it can't be done by any one sector. And that's what makes it a so-called wicked problem. And I don't think it's the dogs who are wicked. And I don't think it's the people who have those dogs who are wicked. We have a wicked problem, meaning that as a society, we aren't looking into this.
Melanie, I got to thank you for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Melanie Rock is...
Looking forward to further conversation.
Yeah, it's a terrific topic. Melanie Rock is a professor of community health sciences at the University of Calgary. We have, we have a largely unsuccessful animal program, and it's not to blame anybody who's in charge of it. It's just we don't have the information, and we should. Mary, go ahead.
Oh, hi. We live where there's a woods, and, of course, there's signs saying dogs must be on leash. And there's also another open area, green area, where the signs say dog must be on leash. Many people don't obey that. And one instance was where a big dog came and bit my husband in the arm, and he was bleeding profusely. And the guy, who didn't speak English that well, told him what the license number was. So he came home. We did all we should do, but it was a false number. So then you go to the public health, and possibly because you can't track if they've had a rabies shot, and he declined. But what I'm saying is, and it's happened very much lately, all the people say is, he won't hurt you. He won't hurt you. There's no enforcement by anybody.
Thanks, Mary. I appreciate the call. I think it's very true. Yeah. The worst thing you can say as a dog owner is won't hurt you. Look, we have a completely sucky dog, and she probably won't hurt you, but we always keep a tight, you know, hold on her leash when new kids are approaching her or new dogs are approaching her, and she's a therapy dog, so she goes through this stuff. But we always keep that in mind, that you just never entirely know. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. We didn't really get much of a chance with Melanie Rock to talk about breed-specific dog bans. And I go back, like I say, often a long way and remember the discussion about pit bulls and such here in the Waterloo region. And I think I've certainly, over the years, changed my mind on that. I don't think the breed-specific bans really do a whole lot. Again, it goes back to being an owner problem and not necessarily a dog problem. And on the issue of licensing, of course, I think here in Waterloo, to license your dog, you get like a $25 gift card for one pet company or another. Well, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good if you don't deal with that pet company, which we don't. I wonder if there's another incentive. But one of the incentives I do believe would be worthwhile, as I said to Melanie, was to actually know how many people are being bitten by dogs in the region every year. Because you don't hear about it unless it's the most severe case. And just because it's a really severe case, that doesn't downplay that many of the others might be serious. You just don't know as much about it. And to her point, you know, a dog bite by a bigger dog will probably get more attention than a dog bite by a smaller dog, even though they are all still a bite. It is Friday, which means it's Free Phones Friday, which means it's up to you. Now's a good time to line up to take part in the festivities. *570-570-2545 or 1-800-570-5715. Oh, I see who's there at the beginning of the festivities already lined up. I can't hardly wait. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Let's get ready to talk responsibly about serious issues of today. It's or not, it's Free Phones Friday. Thanks for coming in this last hour of the week. By the way, at the end of the hour, close to the end of the hour, we'll give away a couple of tickets to see the Rangers game Tuesday at the auditorium against the ever-evil Guelph Storm. And you will be forced to perform some kind of heroic task. That may be overstating it. Anything you want to talk about today? Holy cow. Look at the people lined up. Let's start her off with Andrew. Go ahead, Andrew.
So by tonight, we're supposed to get 10 centimeters of snow. Let's get it out of the
Really? Way. In Calgary?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
It's snowing as I speak.
Oh, that's, isn't it magical?
It's beautiful. We're at the reindeer. So just to start off with a good news story, after a year under doctor's watch, I am finally recovered fully. I can get back to my regular self.
Ah, that's nice. It's good to hear.
Yeah. So what do you call somebody that tells other people to not drive or fly, not to pollute the earth, and fly around the world on a private jet to tell other people to do the same? What do you call that person?
That would be hypocritical, Andrew.
Okay.
So how is he supposed to get to the Netherlands? Walk?
It's called a boat. If you really want to save the earth.
Now we do. Do we know that that boat is more environmentally responsible than a jet?
Well, you know what? I forgot. We live in 2021, right? It's called Zoom.
Yeah, you could do that.
But you can't. I guess you can't do your photo op if you're on Zoom.
Now and you're one including more thing. all the other leaders too, right? I hope.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Especially the guy that just said that the Pope said he can have a communion when he agrees to abortion for the 9 months. So
now, Andrew, come on.
And one more thing: would you ever buy tomatoes from a genocidal government?
Well, is there a special? What are you talking about?
So a report came out yesterday that there are companies that are buying tomatoes from China that are grown by the Muslims in concentration camps.
Yes, I did see that report.
So you think that's cool?
No, I don't think that's cool at all, Andrew. Now, of course, you're asking the wrong person because I don't like tomatoes, but I certainly generally would like to see my tomatoes come from here. That's a choice we all have to make, isn't it?
I just don't understand the hold the Chinese Communist government has on the rest of the world. where we have to buy tomatoes from them. And that is, my friend, pathetic.
Andrew, and here's the hold. Because we want everything cheaper.
And cheaper on somebody else's back.
Absolutely.
That is being held in a cage and probably beat up every day.
That may well be the case, but we all want our stuff cheaper, don't we, Andrew?
And we're going to pay for it one day.
We may well. Andrew, thanks for the call. Enjoy the snow. Get out there. Frolic. Make a snow angel. Manny, go ahead.
You're normally really good at, like, answering people's questions. I asked a question earlier this week, and I've been a little bit busy throughout the rest of the week since I asked the question. But I didn't know was there an answer on how many hot pants Mary can stack in that old ringer
11.
At the same time?
11.
11.
Yeah.
Woo!
I know.
Now, let me tell you. Okay. So as I recall from that conversation, she does the washing on Monday, the ironing on Tuesday.
I think
so
that was more the way it used to be, Manny. I'm not sure Mary's still operating that way today.
Oh. Okay, then I'm going to live like I'm back in the day. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set up a Kitchener Today field trip.
Okay.
I'm going to pick up my boy Grant, and we're going to drive by that line in the afternoon, see how many are hanging there. I don't want to cut Kyle's grass, but it sounds like Kyle's cutting Mr. Mary's grass.
No,
I don't know what to think.
I don't know what's going on there, Manny, but I would suggest maybe pick up geocaching as a hobby instead of doing that.
Well, I got some of those geocaches on my street. It's kind of weird. The people that start searching around, they think it's in your front yard, and you kind of come down and it's like, excuse me, what are you doing here?
Yeah,
I'm
I know.
I'm looking for a little black pill bottle. I'm like, oh, okay.
That's us.
Get away from my kids.
That's what we do.
Number one. But I was trying to turn the love triangle to a love pentagon. I just don't know if that's appropriate or not.
It's completely inappropriate, but that's fine.
I don't know where this stops and where it ends.
No, I don't know either. But that's okay. What Fridays are all about, Manny.
Perfect. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. Kyle, go ahead.
Wow. To be lined up on that conversation.
There's a lot there.
There is. But you know what? Can you do me a favor? Can you look into the reason why our deposits for beer and wine haven't gone up with the price of inflation? Can you do that for me? Like, it's still 5 cents, I guess, or 5 or 10 cents for a beer bottle and 15 cents for a wine bottle. But I was calculating on the internet, and we should be at least getting now back 25 cents for each one of those.
I would suggest it's because nobody wants to increase it, but I'm no scientist.
But that's a deposit gate. Now, I was kind of offended about Mike Farwell and candy corn. So I love candy corn. So for fun fact, for anybody that has candy corn, mix it with some peanuts and it tastes exactly like a payday. That's what I do. So there you go. Happy Halloween.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Kyle. We found two people, Kyle and James Sebastian Scott, who like candy corn. Are those just the little things that look like somebody lost their teeth in the Ozarks? And they're, okay, sugary. If you're wondering who I'm talking to, Brittany's in here working. But that's as far as we're letting it go. Fab.
Hey, how are you?
Say your real name. Is your name Fabrizio? What is it?
It's Fab.
Fab. It's his Fab. Okay. You're
it's
Fab.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Good. I want to talk about the vaccines.
Okay.
I want to ask you if you're known or is there a number I could call? Because back in May, I had two coworkers that got the first vaccine.
Okay.
And then about 6-7 weeks, they got the second one. And within 3 weeks apart, they both ended up passing away.
Okay.
So one of my hesitation of me grabbing the vaccine is one of that. Also, about 6 months ago, I lost my sister. We don't know what happened to her yet. We're still waiting for her toxicology. But I'm wondering if she had the vaccine COVID, too. I'm wondering if that's killing people and that not enough doctors are reporting what's going on out there.
Well, doctors are expected to report it.
No.
Yeah, they are.
They are?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, whether they did or not, I don't know. However, if you want to start an inquiry into that, Fab, you start by calling public health. That's the first place to go.
All right. Okay.
And they'll take you from there. So that's it is supposed to be reported. Now, that's the closest I've come. Well, we won't touch that right now. Tom, go ahead.
How are you?
Good.
We're just wondering what all this shortage is now. They were saying last night on the news that they have, you know, canes that you use, and they use over 1 million in Canada. and it's that metal that's made, and none of them are made in Canada. They're all in China. So there's a shortage of everything. So I don't know, like, this is what I told you. You get all the anti-vacciners, which are pretty well, the next step you take to them, these are your callers. And this is the majority that you get them. And at the same time...
That's not true, Tom. No, it's not true. It is numerically untrue.
Okay. No, but it's the same guys that are calling you guys. So think, like, of the audience that you're...
You realize you fit into the same category, right, Tom?
No, I know, but I call you on different...
What would you like me to do?
Get some more stuff that isn't, like, every professor you had that what should we do with China, they were saying we should not do any trade or anything. I mean, are these guys this stupid?
The last person I had on to talk about China, Tom, that is not at all what they said.
So, I mean, that's just an example. Get a guy that is going to pull us out of NATO. Just listen to his... Get a guy that is going to be... We shouldn't support all the wars that U.S. is going in. Just as a different... what do you call it? Viewpoints.
Tom, we look for all kinds of different viewpoints. Why do we want to pull out of NATO? We can't defend ourselves.
Who's going to attack you? You're living to the States. I heard one of the guys. Nobody's going to come. And now you sent a frigate with the American warship that is going between Thailand and China. I mean, what are we doing there? Are we telling these guys how to rape their women? It doesn't make any sense.
Tom, I wonder if the neighbors of Germany thought, well, they'll never attack us. Like, we don't have the capability to defend ourselves, and why should we not band together?
We don't need it. If it comes to the big war, there's a couple of rockets, and you pray that you're in the middle of it. I mean, it's not going to be a war or anything. So, I mean, stand up for our stuff, for the independence. I mean, I'm just saying, get different kind of viewpoints.
Tom, I will make every effort to do that. You know, we don't have enough program directors. We really don't. Terry, go ahead.
Hey, hi, Brian. How are you?
Good.
Hey, listen, Joe Quenneville did take the gas.
Yes, he did take. See, you owe me a dollar.
Yeah. Well, no, I said I'd be surprised, but I didn't say he wasn't. I wouldn't doubt. No,
look at you, walking away from the bet. Come on.
I said I wouldn't doubt that. But listen, at his age, I think he's done anyway, so... Because you remember, when he started coaching, he had dark hair, so...
Yeah, when I started working, I had dark hair, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Listen, look at the baseball guys. They got booted out. They came right back. A.J. Hinch ended up in Detroit, and Alex Cors went back to his old job.
Yeah, so, a little bit different, right?
It is different.
Besides, I have, in terms of the Houston Astros, I know some people call them cheaters. What they were bad cheaters because they got caught.
Yeah, well, everybody, but they were so blatant about it. That was it.
That's what I mean.
But listen. I know Mike was talking about this on his The World According to Farwell segment this morning. He was saying Gary Bettman should go. Gary Bettman is not going anywhere. He's been there, what, 26, 27 years?
Yeah, something like that.
And look at the game. When he took over, the average value of a hockey franchise was, what, probably around $100 million. Now they're well worth over $1 billion. So he's promoted the game. That's what he was hired to do, was promote the game. They got him from the NBA to promote hockey because he's a lawyer who promoted the NBA. And the NBA in the 70s was dead, so he kind of revived them. I mean, Brian, listen. He's just a representative of the league. The two most powerful guys in the NHL are Larry Tannenbaum and James Dolan in New York City. Those are the two guys. If someone was going to go after someone, they would be the two to go after because they're the two most powerful guys in the NHL. But let's face it, how many commissioners in our lifetime, right? Because we're roughly, I think you're a year or two older than I am, but we're not going to debate that.
No, we're not.
We're not going to split hairs over that. But listen, in our lifetime, how many commissioners have you known aside from Faye Vincent have been let go or booted out.
Yeah, it's not. Well, look, the primary job of the commissioner is to make money for the owners. That's it.
Exactly. They are hired by the owners to represent them, because you can't have like 30 guys up there talking at once, because nobody would be able to listen to them.
No, so, and if you're a commissioner and you get let go, it's because the owners didn't make any money off you. It's quite simple.
Yeah, and the Roger Goodell one, I always laugh because people say, well, he should be fired because, we had the Ray Rice thing, we had that thing, all these guys acting badly. No, he's not going anywhere. I mean, in my lifetime, the NFL has had 3 commissioners, and that's what, almost 60 years, Brian.
Yeah, so, I know.
Goodell, the only way those guys move on is if they get tired of the job and they say, I'm done. But very seldom they get booted out.
Yeah, it's a good gig if you can get it.
I don't think Gary Bettman's going anywhere. Have a good weekend, Brian.
You too. Thanks, Terry. I appreciate that. And we'll go to Paul. Paul, go ahead.
How are you doing today?
I'm all right.
All right. Ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great.
Ooh, even better.
Yeah, that's all you're... I say, how are you doing? You say, good. I'm all right. You got to get hyped up a bit. Next time somebody says, how are you doing? I want to hear you say, I'm doing great.
Okay. Are you concerned about my well-being here, Paul?
I am. It will change your entire outlook on life. So from now on, ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing, Paul?
I'm alive and kicking everyone I can.
Look at that.
You got to be positive. I guess I'm okay. Liven up a bit. More important, I noticed quite a few people here finally catching on about China. I've commented on this many times before. We're talking about, we got to cut back on our carbon emissions when China is producing 29% of the world's carbon emissions. And here we are sitting at, 2%. And we got to pay these $1.50 a liter for gasoline because of Trudeau's carbon tax. And, keep in mind, that's not just on the gasoline. That's on your food and everything else, because it all came here in a truck and all those expenses passed along to the end user. So, I've noticed a few people today have indicated maybe we shouldn't be dealing so much with China. But, of course, there's some connection there with Trudeau. I don't know what they've got on him, but it must be something big.
I'd be more interested in the connections between China and businesses than I would be between China and the Prime Minister, Paul, because I think that's where it lies.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're going to offer me, if I'm employing 1,000 people and you're going to offer me, 1,000 people to work for 3-4 cents an hour, there's a good possibility I'm going to get into bed with you, too.
Yep. That's very true. Thanks, Paul.
Unfortunately, that's the way it is.
Yeah, that's when we are so capitalistically run, not to say that there's a whole lot better system out there, but when you're racing to the bottom to see how little you can pay for things, big surprise. What happens with that? Star 570-570-2545, 1-800-570-5715. It's Free Phones Friday. Perhaps you, too, are upset with China. Perhaps you, too, have programming ideas. Because so far, I thought I was a very positive person. I was positive I was a positive person. Perhaps I was wrong. We're going to take a break. Still time to hear from you. So get in here. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Wow, nobody told me that we had specific, very specific intros for Free Phones Friday. I didn't ask for that. Oh, wish I had. Wesley, go ahead.
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you are.
That's my first time calling in.
Oh, well, I'll be gentle.
All right. Well, I wanted to talk today about geocaching, because I hear you like to do that.
Go ahead.
So, this winter, I took my snowshoes out because we got a really big dump in, and I went to Worcester Place in Breslau.
I think I know where that is.
Yeah, it's on a dead-end road.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to the end of that. I also wanted to shed a light on dog bites.
Okay.
They got a big dog down that road that bit me. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
Well, it bit me.
Okay.
And it's not the nicest feeling when you get bit by a big dog, I guess. I've been bit by a couple little ones.
Little ones, right?
Yeah, they don't really make as big of a punch as a 4-foot-tall German Shepherd.
No, that would be painful.
So if you want to talk about dog bites and get bit by one while you're geocaching, I recommend everybody that's listening right now to go there.
Always, you know what? We're always thankful for tourism advice.
Amazing.
Thanks, Wesley. We had a Wesley, Brittany. That's important. Wesley's the name of the prince in The Princess Bride. We were talking about that this morning. Let me see. And a couple to go to here. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
I'm all right.
Good show.
Sorry. I'm fabulous, Jeff.
I was just going to say, that was good. I laughed at Paul and a couple of your other Mannies and what's that other gentleman that phones in all the time, Brian?
Oh, there's many of them. There's Kyle. Yeah. There's Rush. Yeah.
It's good. Rush, that's the one. Rush and Manny, right on. Anyways, Brian, I just got one thing to say. I'm getting tired of the protest that's going on down in Caledonia. I understand what they're doing, but gosh darn, it's not here in Ontario. It's out in BC. Why do you have to disrupt innocent people around here? You know what I mean, Brian? I'm just getting tired of it. Like, guys, if you want to do something constructive, go on to the government, go to the government places and protest there. Why are you stopping people and disrupting traffic? Brian, I don't understand it, man. But anyways, that's all I wanted to get off my chest. Thank you very much. You have yourself a great night, what's left of it, and happy trick-or-treating.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate the call. Up against the clock here. Dave, Jason, I do see you. You're first up in line after our 2:30 news update. And don't forget, we still have a chance for you to win a couple of Rangers tickets for next Tuesday night as the Rangers take on the Guelph Storm. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. Always hate on the drummer. That's what I think. It's the drummers who drag things out. No question. Jason, go ahead.
Brian, just a couple little points. I just want to remind people again that Doug Ford still hasn't pulled back the legislation of Bill 124 that prevents our nurses and other health care members from getting more than a nickel or a dime or 25 cents in a raise.
You stop it, Jason. He's got their back. You stop it. I heard him say it.
You know what? It's if he's got their back, I'd hate to see what it looks like if he didn't have their back. I also want to just remind people that this government continues to pit healthcare member against healthcare member while giving a wage enhancement to some, but not to all, even though all are virtually as important as the other. And my last little point. I know Waterloo Region District School Board is trying to be inclusive, but with what has gone on in the last couple of weeks, you know, regarding Halloween and the books now want to remove certain literature from the libraries, I feel that they're creating more divisiveness as opposed to inclusiveness. And I think they need to realize what they're doing is not good for the overall benefit of our children. And that's all, Brian. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate that. Look, on the issue of the school board and Halloween, I think if what they were trying to do was say, well, as a school, we're not going to sponsor any Halloween activities or put them out there, I don't really have an issue with that. But their communication wasn't very good. And on the books, well, we are working on it, and we do, I hope, have someone on Monday from the freetoread.ca group, which is an anti-censorship group. And this is not just a bunch of whack-doodles, kids. This is editors, writers, publishers, all those kinds of people on the literary side, because I am not very comfortable with what's happening at the WRDSB and their stance on libraries. I don't like especially what I can't see about that transparency. Andy, go ahead.
Brian, I go for my second shot next Friday.
Okay.
And so I'm kind of wondering with this booster thing, does that not mean that I'm not fully vaccinated after I get the second shot?
No, you're fully vaccinated after you get the second shot, and then you can get a third shot somewhere down the road.
Right, well...
I think we have to wait to hear the guidance from that, Andy, before we really begin to speculate the heck out of it.
Yeah, well, it just seems like they're shifting the tables all the time. And I was turned down for a job interview because I wasn't fully vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm wondering, because the government has decided that they're going to leave it up to the companies to decide, you know, what status of your vaccination has to be or whatever, if they're going to say, oh, well, you need to get your booster shot now.
Right? That's entirely possible, Andy.
And I really don't think that's fair. There should be the government or the health board is the one who should be dictating when and where the people should be getting their booster shots. You know, not having somebody in a room somewhere deciding, oh, we're going to have to change that and you're going to need the third booster shot.
Well, but doesn't changing information make some sense over the space of a year and a half when you discover new things?
Yeah, I know, but not week by week.
It hasn't been week by week, Andy. Come on. Let's be honest. Hasn't been week by week. Yes, things have changed. There's no question.
Yeah, well, I got the shot, and I'm going for my second one next week, right?
Yep.
And so they should give you some sort of, like, time window, right, that remains in effect.
I think that's probably the case, Andy. How old are you?
59.
Okay, well, you're probably not going to be in that booster group to start with. We have to wait for the guidance to come in on that before we can really speculate. I know that makes me a terrible show host, because if you want to speculate, that's way more fun. But I think not speculating is a good idea now and then. Jim, go ahead.
Good Friday afternoon, Brian. How are you?
Not so bad. What do you got?
Are you sure? You okay? I'm worried about you sometimes.
Don't worry. Nobody worries about me.
I do.
Nobody cares about me around here. Nobody cares about me anywhere else. It's I'm not a member of the elites around here.
Do you have the whiskey ready? We're close, you know. We're almost there.
The whiskey's always ready.
I know. I hear you. Hey, are you going out dressed up as anything on Halloween?
Yeah. I every Halloween, I like to go out in my icon costume. And
that's an iconic role.
I know. It's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad. Well, I've got my costume picked out.
Oh, I wonder what it is.
I've had it. Oh, I've been working on this one for a while, too. I'm going out as the scariest, most despised, most hated vermin ever to walk the streets. Yes, I'm going out as unvaccinated man.
No, don't say.
Some women and children will be screaming in the streets.
Yeah, you won't be coming to my house, Jim.
And you know what? To top it all off, to make the piece of resistance, I'm going to talk just to scare you in particular. I'm going to be eating a big honking pumpkin spice muffin.
Oh, look. Hey, do you know what this button does, Jim? I do. Dave, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
I'm all right. Hey, no, I'm sorry. I'm not all right. I'm fantastic.
Yeah, you're great. Hey, listen, I have a quick question for you. It's interesting. I'm glad you got that guy on Monday with the censorship of the school board.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, haven't had that since 1939.
Oh, no, we did. We did. Back in the 80s, I remember there was
1939 was when in Germany, and what they're going through the books. Hey, just a quick question, though. I actually enjoy your shows, but I can tell when you have a guest on right away, we know where it's going to go, and sometimes it gets vanilla. No offense to you guys, but just the way it is. Why don't you have two guests on with opposing views? That's what good radio is, eh?
Yeah, and you know, but, Dave, in all honesty, it's not as easy to find as you might think.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. We work on it, but I'm just saying, like, it makes for better radio because there's two opinions, and then your job in there is just to make sure everything's going well and actually just stir it up a little bit more.
I don't have an issue with it. You got to work on it in the right way, and it's got to be on the right issue. Like, do you really, Dave, want to spend half an hour listening to the pro and anti-abortion sides?
I'm not asking that, but I would listen to the sides of the school board and the books.
And you know what? That's often, like, certainly I would like to have somebody on at the same time, but
yep.
I think that can also get kind of confusing. Let's hear one side and then go back to the school board, get the other side. I get what you're saying. Maybe there's a way to work this out. And I'll tell you this, Dave, I wouldn't be at all surprised if we had to do that, because I think this issue is going to blow up a lot more than the school board thinks.
Oh, yeah. And back to the other guy that called in, Andy, the 59-year-old getting the vax. I got a couple words just really easy for him. And the way I look at it is I'm the 87, 88% that's fully vaccinated. And I think people are tired of changing their lives for the 13%. And that's what his problem is right now. That's why he's getting vaccinated, because he can't get into places.
All right.
I think's great.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. I actually do believe that about the school board discussion. It will blow up. It's already been in the National Post. Wait till places outside of Toronto hear about it. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Brian, how are you doing?
I'm excellent.
Now ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing, Joe?
If I was any better, there'd be two of me.
Oh, nice.
All right. Brian.
That's all right.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret.
Okay.
Manny and Rush, they're my boys.
Really?
You know, I love them like food, but I desperately need your help.
Okay.
Their logic center is not functioning right now. It's broken. And I need your help to bring these guys into the fold, because they're my boys. They had my back. I had theirs. I love them like food. It's just the whole anti-vax thing is driving me freaking crazy, and I can't talk to them. Maybe you can talk to them. Maybe you can bring them around. I just want my boys back so we can drink hot sake and eat raw fish again.
Joe, maybe that's the message. Look, I'm not going to tell people how to think in some of those cases. Tom, go ahead.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm all right.
Good. If we had your money, I'd be burning mine. I caught the tail end of that for a caller there. Is that like, you know, if everybody would just do what they have to do, get your vaccinations. Don't, you know, let's not worry about too much about what's being said out there. Just get it done. We'd be in a lot better position that we're in now. I just, for the life of me, I can't figure it out. Is that, you know, why procrastinate about something that hasn't happened yet? And if they're going to tell us we're going to need a booster shot, then those who will get the booster shot will be far better at than not getting a booster shot. So, you know, that really just perturbs me like no end. And I don't know what your take on the Rogers situation here. I understand that someone was going to get a $2 million severance.
Now, I know. I can tell you right now, I ain't getting a $2 million severance, or I am trying to get that written into my next deal.
That's just... It's unbelievable, eh? How this gets written into these contracts and everything else. But hey, let the family fight all about it. It almost sounds like the McCain family all over again.
Well, yeah, it is. That's really the last one that I can come to any kind of conclusion with. We had a chat about the whole Rogers thing earlier this week, and it's really in many ways unprecedented. Let's let the rich people with lots of money fight.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And then they'll raise the rates up again some more.
Josh helps pay the bills there, Tom. Come on. Let's not be too hard on the evil red empire. It is, I still maintain, it's fascinating to watch, because it's just so far out of our regular wheelhouse that we're going, look what's happening over here. It's like a circus act. Rush, go ahead.
Hey, Brian. I just, I caught Joe's call there. I just wanted to tell Joe that, buddy, I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. Anytime, man, we're doing the same stuff we always did. And we're staying safe, and we're having fun, and we're living life. And it's the other side that's changed and no longer wants to do those things with us. So
he misses
whenever,
you.
You're ready, man,
he misses you, Rush. He misses you.
I know he does. And I'm just saying that we're here.
If I have one goal in life, it's to bring you and Joe together. Well, I got several other goals too, but I'll take that one for the time being.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, Rush. We are coming up to break time. So we have another set of tickets to give away. It is for the Rangers game Tuesday night at the auditorium, conveniently, against the Guelph Storm. Puck drop, 7 p.m. There's another one of my cliches that I hate. Puck drop. Don't like that. I don't know what I'm going to make you do, but you'd best line up and be ready to do it. At 12:15, it was a maniacal laugh. So it's a pretty good bet you're not going to have to do that. But it's two tickets. We're not sending you by yourself. That's important to know. And the good news is now that we're back up to capacity, we'll have these tickets to give away on a fairly regular basis. Not that I want to put any words into the promotions department's mouth, but they seemed pretty excited about it today. And again, as you well know, if you're a longtime listener to this show, and we haven't been giving away a whole lot of stuff over the space of the pandemic, but when we do... we try to make it at least marginally entertaining, which is kind of the goal I set for the show every day. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570. We must have crossed a threshold of some kind that we were, they actually produced like specific things for Free Phones Friday. Because like I'm the fourth most popular talk show here in this station, let alone other stations. And they never offered me any signature content before.
Wow.
Brittany Bordelon is here. Did you come in here because the promotions people like to change over to music and share space?
Yeah.
Ugh, what's wrong with them? Good Lord. So we gave away a couple of tickets. It was Bill earlier who won a couple of tickets to the Rangers game Tuesday because he had a very good maniacal laugh, which I think fits in with Halloween, right? You had a very good maniacal laugh too.
Oh,
so now I see I've got three contestants. So contestants, Nathan, Ben, Tom, you're each going to get a chance to do what we're going to ask you to do. So it's not going to be just first buddy wins. No, that's not the way we roll here. We demand quality content from you, not from me. So, and I'm only going to give you a little bit of time to work on something here because I thought, you know what? We also have to have something Halloween themed. So we need your best possible Dracula impression.
I want to suck your blood. Was that good enough for you, Brian?
Is that your best possible Dracula impression? So that's the challenge here. We will listen to each of Nathan, Ben, and Tom, and then our esteemed judge, that's Brittany and I, will vote on that. And if it's a tie, Brent will cast the deciding vote.
I've been training my whole life for this.
I know you have. So here we go. Caller number one is Nathan. Nathan.
Yes, hello, Brian. Happy afternoon.
Oh, that's very good.
Gosh, I think we're talking to the real Dracula.
I know.
I'm very glad that you are feeling fantastic today.
See, that's good. That's good. Now, Nathan, I'm going to put you on hold. Okay, I put Nathan on hold. Now, you may have paid off the next two, because, man, you jump right into it, and then you mention show content. Ooh, that's pretty good. Ben. Go ahead.
Nice to talk to you. I had to wake up pretty early. Usually I only come at night, but I want these tickets, so I call in now.
Okay, it has Spanish touch to me. I'm not sure.
Okay,
we're going to put you on hold, Ben.
Spanish Dracula.
Spanish Dracula. And now we'll go to Tom. Tom, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I can't do this.
What do you mean you can't do this? The hell? Of course you can. You called in.
Okay, all right. Good evening. Welcome to my parlor.
No, guess what, Tom? You were right.
I can't.
You can't do that. All right,
Tom.
Tom's out. And we got Nathan. Nathan was pretty good.
Nathan was pretty good.
Ben was okay. Hampered to some degree by a bad phone,
I thought.
How
about they go with each other?
Hey, that's adorable. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, here we go. I think we agree here. We agree. We don't even need Brent's agreeing, and he's not even involved in the vote. So there you go. Ben, excellent effort, but we're going to have to let you go.
Oh,
I know. Try. We'll have way more tickets. We'll have way more tickets. And I don't know. Your phone was really breaking up, too, so that was problematic.
I think we'll be giving away some tickets next week also.
Yes. We'll have so many tickets, you'll get tired of tickets. Nathan?
Yes.
Nathan, you're a wiener.
Oh, fantastic. I actually called in to do my ghost impression.
Oh, would you like to do that then? Is it a Transylvanian ghost?
Yes, it is. It's any kind of ghost you want. You want to hear my ghost?
That's at this point, I think my choices are limited, so sure.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
I'm still ready.
Okay.
Ooh, that's very good.
I am the ghost that didn't say boo.
That's very good. Nathan, I'm going to put you on hold. Brent will get all your information, and thanks for playing along. I appreciate that.
Happy Halloween.
Okay, we'll put Nathan on hold there. See, now we have to, look, we need to raise the bar a little bit more here, because that was actually kind of fun. I like that. It's contests are much more fun when you actually have some fun content as opposed to, hey, third caller in. That's a lazy contest.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to put the bare minimum amount of effort in.
That's right. Yeah. And I've always been somewhat critical of Farwell for his, I like to term it idiot trivia. Right? Like, on what frozen surface do people play hockey?
That's not a question.
I know that. I know that one. Come on. It's got to be a little bit better than that. So we'll try to theme it all the time. So as we get closer to Christmas, maybe we can make people sing a Christmas song.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Speaking of that, I haven't told you about this, that I've been having a discussion with a member of the Goosey family, the performing Goosey family, mm-hmm. because she was offering this very special holiday ukulele lesson.
Oh.
So by the end of it, you might be able to play four or five Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that kind of sounds like a fun thing. So I reached out to her and said, you want to come on the air and we can promote this and it'll mm-hmm. be fun. And maybe you can teach me a chord or two.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden she's like pretty much sold out.
Wow.
But then she's got
big time now.
I know.
She doesn't need us.
No. And then, of course, we ran into problems about how do we do this. So I've been trying to connect with her. So that we can do it outside of the building, because they won't allow anybody in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take my fancy microphone, and we'll record that discussion and maybe try to learn a few things. Now, outside of the piano, do you play any other instruments?
No, but you know what? I think the ukulele could be fun. I think it could be a fun team-building exercise that me, you, and Polly could do.
We could have our own ukulele band?
Yeah.
They're not crazy expensive. I think we have a couple of them.
Oh, okay, perfect. I'll just borrow one of those.
Well, Mrs. B wanted a ukulele a couple of years ago, and then, as usual, spent like 4 minutes learning it.
As one does.
And then put it off to the side, and has not been as committed to the ukulele bit as I thought. Now she wants a beatbox.
No.
Do you know what they are? Those are, right? You sit on them? Right? You sit on them, and it's like a snare drum thing and stuff like that. Now she wants one of those really badly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be fun.
She wants to be part of the...
You guys could start your own band.
I know. Well, that's the thing. She wants to be part of the band, but then not always, right? Because she was supposed to be part of the band with the ukulele, and that didn't work out. And the harmonica. And the harmonica has been taken over by the two-year-old.
I'll play the triangle. I'll be in your family band.
We have a triangle, and we have a tambourine.
Are those instruments already taken, or
no,
like
no,
they're available
no, no,
for
no,
me?
No, 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 no. Trust me. There's only one member of the band who's in for life. That's me. The others, you know, if you're not prepared to cozy up to the front man, you're probably out. This is your first Halloween in your house.
Mm-hmm.
Are you expecting, like, tons of little darlings?
You know what? The neighborhood is filled with kids, but Jake and I will not be home, so I will not be handing out candy.
Oh, no. Is that on purpose?
I guess so. I mean, not like,
I hate these children. I'm locking my doors and going somewhere else.
Like, we offered to help my in-laws move this weekend.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there won't be any Halloween at the Bordelon house.
No.
You see, and you'll be immediately known as the place where they didn't get any candy.
Well, you know what? I think Brady from Chime is making up for it for me, because he's giving out the full candy bars, like
oh,
the full king
me.
Size
he
ones.
Is a, oh, he is a kisser like no one's business. Elaine, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Actually, I'm calling to speak to Brittany.
Oh.
I hear she's on the radio there.
She's right there.
I just mm-hmm. have a lead story for her. I'm wondering if she knows it's 100 years since the poppy has been created for a peace symbol, and that the church in Elora, St. John's Church in Elora, put out a plea for crocheted poppies, and they have hundreds streaming down from the steeple in the church to the ground. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Oh,
thank you
nice.
So much, Elaine. That was St. Yeah. John's Church, you said?
St. John's Church in Elora, yeah. If you wanted to contact them and get the full story. Apparently they came from as far away as Australia.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's lovely looking.
All right,
worth
thanks.
The trip.
Thanks, Elaine. We'll see what we can find out about that. Mm-hmm. We always enjoy getting your news tips and your information.
Mm-hmm.
So you can send them by email. Send them at brian@570news.com. Mm-hmm. Do you have a Brittany at 570news.com?
No, I wasn't part of the elite.
No, yeah. Sucks to be you, doesn't it? Back here Monday from noon till 3. This is Kitchener Today on City News 570.